Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your heart and mind as our pastor, Chip Pendleton, brings us the Word of God.
Good morning. It's great to see you this morning. Welcome to everybody watching online. Unlike David, I'm in a good mood, okay? But if you don't amen, it could put me in a bad mood. So just thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, we've started a sermon series last week called Life is a Highway, and we're talking about how life is a journey towards God. And last week we talked about that journey being one where every year of our life, we're never going to be perfect, we're never going to be where we want to be, but we should be getting closer to God, we should be living a better life, we should be understanding more about God, and it's that overall journey that we're taking till we finally reach perfection in heaven. Well, today we're going to be over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Just two sentences. It packs a lot into those two sentences, though. And we're going to be talking about the fact that the road you decide to take in life is where you're going to end up. That's where you're going to go. So if I get out here and I have to decide, am I going to go left on Hurstbourne Lane or right on Hurstbourne Lane, the direction I take is going to decide where I end up. Okay? Now, that's not exactly rocket science, but it's something that we need to understand when it comes to our faith and when it comes to God. So let's look over to that now. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Open our hearts and minds to the truth that's there, and then help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, back when I was in high school, which was a long time ago, my sister and I, Sarita, we went to Kings Island. And when we were coming back, it had been a long day. I was tired. It was hot. So about Florence, Kentucky, I fell asleep. Okay, I woke up an hour or so later, and I asked my sister, I said, "Are we almost home?" And she said, "Yeah, I think we're about there." And the next exit said, "Lexington, next exit." And I said, "Lexington? Well, what are we doing outside Lexington? We should be outside Louisville by now." And then we figured out when the interstate splits and 75 goes one way and 71 the other, she took 75, and we were now as far away as when we had started. So the road that she decided to take there, it's her fault, by the way, the road we decided to take there was the way that we ended up where we were. And it's the same in life. You choose the road that you're walking down in life right now. You can blame it on other people. You can say, well, they influenced me to do this, or my parents were bad, or this happened in my life. I don't care. Whatever road you are walking down in life right now, it's because you chose to walk that direction. You made the decisions, and that road is going to end up exactly where it's taking you, and we need to understand that as we get into this. So let's look down, and we're going to start in verse 13, and Jesus begins with a plea. And the plea is prejudging us from the start on which road we're going to take. And the plea is this: enter by the narrow gate. Now, this is what an advanced theological education will do for you. So the plea, enter by the narrow gate. Look at verse 13, just the beginning part of that. Enter through the narrow gate. See how smart I am? That's why the first point is enter through the narrow gate. Because what's it say? Thank you. I'm trying to teach you theology here, okay? So thank you. Not quite as complicated as we sometimes make it. So here at the very beginning, Jesus is prejudicing his hearers. He's going to give you an illustration. He hasn't even told you the illustration yet. But before you hear the illustration, he tells you which side you should take. And the side that you should take, he tells you, is the narrow gate. He's going to talk about a wide gate. He's going to talk about a narrow gate. And he's going to say, we need to enter in through the narrow gate. So whatever he's going to tell us is so important, he wants you to know the answer before you even hear the story. Okay? And then he goes on, enter through that narrow gate. Now, the truth of the matter is, as we get into this, there's only going to be two roads that you can choose in life. Now, one road has a lot of different ways to get to it and a lot of different things you call it, but it's really all the same road. It's like saying, is that I-264 or is it the Waterson Expressway? Yeah, you may call it different things, but it's the same road. So we may call the wide gate different things, but it's all the same road. But Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. So let's understand, first of all, what was a gate in this day and age? A gate was a point of access that allows people to enter a path that leads to a defined destination. A point of access that leads to a path that goes to a defined destination. Let me explain this. Anybody here ever been to Berlin and seen the Brandenburg Gate? Okay, a couple, three or four people. All right. So the Brandenburg Gate is in Berlin. Why is it called the Brandenburg Gate? Because if you go through that gate, exactly, you go through that gate, the road you're taking goes to Brandenburg. In Israel, in Jerusalem, there's something called the Jaffa Gate. Got a picture of the Jaffa Gate right here. This is inside the walls of Jerusalem. That one in the middle is the Jaffa Gate. Now, there's other ways you can go, but the one in the middle is called the Jaffa Gate. Why is it called the Jaffa Gate? Because it takes you to Jaffa. Okay, so the road you're taking, it's going to end up on whatever destination you're traveling on. So whatever direction you're going in life, you may bemoan it, oh, my life's terrible, this is going on in my life, how did I get down here? Whatever road you're on, it's because you chose to take the road. You're walking down the road you decided to take, and it's taking you exactly the direction you've been heading in. And so Jesus tells us to enter that narrow gate. The choice you make on what road you follow in life is going to decide where you end up in life. And so with that as our backdrop, Jesus then goes on and he talks about the two different roads. And the first path he talks about is the wide gate, is the wide gate. Look at chapter 7, verse 13, the end of that. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. So he talks about many different things here. He talks about a gate, talks about a road, he talks about who's on it, and then he talks about where it ends up. We're going to look at all those things. Gate, road, who's on it, where it ends up. So let's start with the gate. We're told it is a wide gate. It is a big gate that you can go through here. Now, when we look at the gates, again, the gate is the access to where you want to go. So in our life, the gate is you deciding which path you're going to take in life, okay? And I'm going to make it real simple for you. I've divided these gates up into only two things. And there is the God gate, and there is the substitute God gate. Dr. McKinley, this is my interpretation, so if anybody else grabs this, you say you heard it here first, okay? The God gate and the substitute God gate. I originally, on Monday, called it the not God gate. But then I said, no, it is a God gate. We just substitute something else for God. Because there is a God-sized hole in everybody's heart, and you're going to substitute it with something, okay? And so the gate that we go through here is, what am I substituting for God that I'm trying to make my life what it should be? So it is a wide gate that we're told here. And the reason it's wide is there's a lot of different beliefs and a lot of different paths that you choose to go through this gate. And again, it's all semantics. I-264, Waterson. I-265, Snyder. So what are some of the things we name this gate? One of the things that we do. Well, one is we choose to follow modern culture. So we say, okay, whatever society believes at the time, that's what most people think, so that's what I'm going to follow. Now, what we don't understand is culture changes even within generations. It's not even generationally long. But we say, well, I'm going to go with whatever the culture says at the time. So whatever the culture says about politics, whatever the culture says about whatever, we're going to follow that along the way, and so we follow the culture. And so it might be a political leader. My substitute God becomes a political leader in the culture. My substitute God becomes a theory of science or something like that. My substitute God might even become something good that I make, my family, whatever. But we substitute something trying to find meaning in life here. And so our substitute God becomes climate change. We ought to do something about climate change. But when you're throwing tomato soup on the Mona Lisa, you're saying, no, I've substituted something else for God here. This has become an overwhelming passion in my life at this time. The problem with substituting culture is that culture is constantly changing, and you look back over the years and you think, what in the world was I thinking? And what you were thinking was everybody else was doing it, so that's what I need to do. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about right here. Here is a picture of a Penny's catalog in 1970 men's fashion wear. Okay. That's what people were wearing. Okay, and they looked at that and thought, oh yeah, yeah. I've got a picture of me in the leisure suit, back in the office that I can show you a little bit later on.
Why isn't it up there?
Well, it should have been. Because I didn't prepare in advance. That's why it's not up there, okay? It's the best you get. So you look at that and you think, what were these people thinking? You know what they were thinking? Man, I look cool. You know, I'm really neat. You know, look at this. I'm groovy. That's what they were thinking when they were putting this on. And yet we look at it now and we laugh at where they were. Just curiosity, anybody dress like that ever? Anybody dress like that today? Okay. All right. So we substitute culture. Another thing we substitute is we say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to follow my heart. And so what we substitute for God is ourselves. We make ourselves God. It's what I want to do. It's what I choose. It's what I think best. And it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what God thinks. It doesn't matter what my parents say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to follow my heart. Hear that all the time. Well, just follow your heart. Well, the problem with that is, like David said, emotions change. You know, you can be angry one minute, happy the next minute. Emotions go up and down, and if you're following your heart, it's just going to be like, your past's going to be like this all the time because you're not going in any common direction. It's just whatever emotion you might feel at that particular moment. And when you follow your heart and you have no basic bedrock foundation of what you believe, it's going to be constantly changing. Listen to what Jeremiah says about following your heart, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Wow. And that's what you're following as your basis in life. That's your substitute God, yourself. Sometimes we substitute science and knowledge. And even though we think, well, the science is set or whatever, is science ever really set? We're always learning more things and new things, and it's always evolving and changing. You know, back in the Middle Ages, the earth is flat. Now the earth is round. When I was growing up, Pluto was a planet. And now Pluto's not a planet. And I'm still a little bit salty about that because the way I learned my planets was through an acrostic. And now I've got to take the P out in the middle of it, and it messes the whole thing up. So for me, Pluto will always be a planet. Now, I don't drink coffee, but years ago, we were told drinking whole milk is bad for you. You need to drink skim milk. And so a whole generation grew up with crappy coffee because they had to put skim milk in it. And now we come out and we say, no, whole milk is better. And so you mean I've been drinking skim milk in my coffee for 20 years and whole milk was better all along? And so these things are constantly changing as we go through it and as we look at it. And so if that becomes your God or your foundation, you're not going to get in the right direction all the time. And then finally, a lot of people have no direction at all. They're just existing. They're not really living. They're just kind of getting up each day, going through it. They have no idea where they're going, and their substitute God is just whatever comes up that day in their schedule. So it's a wide gate. We're told not only is it a wide gate, it's an easy road. It's a broad road that we're taking. And it is a broad road because there's a lot of people on it and a lot of different reasons, and everybody's on it. So this road is the interstate. It's where you get on it and you just fly through it. You don't want to think about life. You really don't want to think about core foundational principles. You don't want to think about really matters. You're just living life and blowing through it. You know, every day, I'm just trying to get through today. You're on the interstate going as fast as you can. Germany has something called the Autobahn. 70% of the Autobahn does not have a speed limit on it. The average speed on the Autobahn in those areas is 90 miles an hour. That's what people drive on the average, 90 miles an hour on the areas where there's no speed limit. Here's a picture of an area where there's no speed limit on the Autobahn right there. So you're flying through there. You're doing 90 miles an hour average, maybe more than that, and you're flying through some of the most beautiful country in the world, in the Alps. How many people do you think are saying, man, this is beautiful scenery? No, you're just flying through it. And that's how most people are in their life. They're on this broad road. They're flying through it with everybody else, and they're not thinking about life seriously or what life is really about. They're just flying down that road. And then we're told it's a road that's well-traveled. There's a lot of people on it because most people are not going to choose the God route. They're going to choose their route or culture's route or something else, and they're going to substitute God for something else. And so there's a lot of people on this road. You know, when you think about the well-traveled road and you think about just where we live, statistics say that less than 20% of people in Jefferson County go to church. Less than 20% of Jefferson County goes to church. Odom County, less than 15% of people go to church in Odom County. And so we are on a well-traveled road. Everybody else is on it. That makes us feel comfortable. And then finally, we're told this road leads to destruction. This road leads to destruction. It leads to destruction in this life because you have no center. You'll be bored, anxious, confused, angry, lonely, lost. Life will never make sense, and you're just rushing through it, trying to get to the next spot. And so it leads to destruction both in this life, and then ultimately when you reach your destination, the destination you reach will be destruction as well. So that sounds fairly depressing, I would think. But luckily, Jesus tells us there's a second path. And so let's look at that second path now. And he talks about it in the exact same way. There's a small gate. There's a narrow road. It leads to life, and few find it. Small gate, narrow road, leads to life, few find it. So let's kind of break it down in the same way as we did the other. First, we're told that it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate. Now, why is it a narrow gate? It's a narrow gate because the wide gate, there's all different things you can choose to get on it. I choose myself. I choose culture. I choose science. There's a lot of ways to get on that wide gate. But there's only one way to get on the narrow road, and that's through the narrow gate. And there's only one way to get through that, and that is through Jesus Christ. And that's why it becomes a narrow gate. You see, Jesus Christ is the only way that you can be forgiven of your sins and to be made right with God. He died on the cross to take your sins on him that you might be forgiven. And people will say, well, what about other religions and other ways of thinking and other philosophies? And what I always say is, look, you may get good things out of those. They may have things that make your life better and help you in life, but there's only one thing in this world that actually makes you right with God and forgives you of your sins, and that's Jesus Christ and Jesus dying on the cross. Look at Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. It says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. Now, if you say that and believe that, people will say, well, that's exclusive. That's very bad and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a narrow gate. That's the only way that you're going to get on that path and that road is to go through that gate. So right there, you're limited, and you said, I'm choosing the gate of Jesus Christ and Jesus dying for me, and now my life is going to be following him on the road that gate leads to. So it's a narrow gate. It's also a narrow road. A narrow road. Now, I don't like narrow roads. I like wide roads or something like that. And especially if it's a narrow road up on a height somewhere, because I'm afraid of heights. You know, I don't like that at all. Dawn and I were with another couple one time, and we're walking across this bridge. And, I mean, there's like this, you know, you drop off into the water. You know, why would they do a walkway where you can just literally kill yourself? I don't know. So, you know, I'm stuck to the inside. You know, everybody with us, they're trying to encourage me. You know, they're laughing at me and everything, you know. And so one of the ladies with us, she goes up. She stands on the death side of the bridge. And she takes me by the arm, and she says, look at me and just talk to me across the bridge. And then she brought up some obscure theological thing. What do you think of the mildew laws in the book of Leviticus? And I thought, well, they're actually more complicated than you might think. You know, she's just trying to get me across the bridge as we're doing there. Well, the good news is this. It may be a narrow road, And it may seem dangerous to you, but you're not walking the narrow road alone. You're walking it with Jesus Christ. He's going to be with you every step of the way to help you down that road of life. So it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow road. Now, here's the problem. It's a more difficult road. It's a more difficult road because the road you're on is the road less traveled, and the rest of the world's not going to understand it. If everybody else is on the interstate and you're off here on the side road, people are going to think you're crazy. And if you're believing things that people on the other road believe, they're still going to think you're crazy. And so people are going to look at you, and they're going to condemn you for what you believe and what you think. You're going to be called bigoted, narrow-minded, old-fashioned. If you say things like Jesus is the only way to salvation, then they'll say, well, you know, that's just a bigoted, narrow-minded way of looking at God. If you say something like, well, I don't think you should have sex before marriage because sex is the way God designed for two people to come together as one flesh. And they'll say, oh, man, that's just old-fashioned silliness or something like that. Nobody believes that kind of stuff anymore. And so it's going to become a more difficult road and a narrower road because few people are going to choose that path. They're going to choose what they want on the other path of life. The next thing we're told is that it's a road that's less traveled. It's a road that's less traveled. So not many people are going to choose that road. It's harder to get on. It's more exclusive. It's narrower, and fewer people are going to choose it. The vast majority of people you're going to meet in life are going to be people that take that wide road, are going to be people that are going to make a God, and they are going to substitute it for God, and they're going to say, no, I'm following culture, I'm following what I want to do, and instead of saying, no, I'm going to follow what God wants to do. So it becomes a road less traveled. But the good news is it's a road that leads to life. It's a road that leads to life. Just like we saw with the wide gate, it leads to a good and better life right now. It might seem strange to the world if you're forgiving. It might, when people don't deserve to be forgiving. It might seem strange to the world that you give of what you have to somebody else to help them. That seems odd. It might seem strange to the world when you're patient and when you're understanding and when you're caring, when the rest of the world is only thinking about themselves. But it's going to end up being a better life as you go through it for you and other people. And then finally, that road that you're on towards God is going to lead to eternal life. And when you die, God's going to raise you from the grave and you'll be with him in heaven forever. So yeah, it was a narrower gate and a more difficult road and there were fewer people on it and you were mocked for walking it, but it's going to lead to eternal life. And so now our decision is really simple. What road am I going to decide to take in life? Because there's really only two. There's God and there's substitute God. And so you have to decide, which road am I going to take? Which road do I want to be on in life right now? But know this, whatever path you choose, you're the one that decided the road you're on, and the results are because you're taking the road that's leading you exactly the way that you're walking. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. In 2018, there was a tragic story. A young boy, only 7 years old, by the name of Ronnie O'Neill. His father, who was high on drugs at the time, murdered his mother and his sister in front of him, stabbed him multiple times, poured gasoline on him, and was trying to set him on fire when a police officer by the name of Michael Blair came in and saved the boy's life. Because the boy was so traumatized, Blair stayed with him, took him to the hospital, stayed with him in the emergency room. That was there, started to go see him every day. Michael Blair and his wife Danielle have a date night every week. And the first date night, he said, do you mind if we just download a cartoon on the iPad and go to the hospital and show it to Ronnie? And she said, yeah. And that became their date night, going and watching movies on the iPad with Ronnie in the hospital. Him and his wife were going home one night. He gets a call from Child Protective Services, and they ask him a simple question. They said, hey, we know that you've gotten close to the boy. Can you recommend a good couple you think would be a foster family? And he said, well, he said, give me a second. I'll pull over and think about it. So he pulls over. He starts talking to him. He looks over. His wife is bawling, crying. He says, why are you crying? And she says, look at where we're at. They pulled into their church parking lot, and they were sitting in the church parking lot. And she goes, what do you think God's trying to tell us? And so Michael says, yeah, we'll become foster parents for Ronnie. That was 5 years ago. This past week, Michael and Danielle Blair adopted Ronnie into their family. And here's a picture of them after the adoption ceremony. Now, here's the amazing thing. the judge there in Tampa always asked the person being adopted the question, why would you want to be adopted by this family? And this is what Ronnie said. He said, this is what they've told me every day since the day that I came into them as, to their house as a foster child. What they say to me every day is this: you're now safe. You're now loved. You now have a family. You now have a God, and you're going to heaven. And he repeated that to the judge. And he says, every night they say that to me, and I repeat it back to them. I am now safe. I now am loved. I now have a family. I now have a God. And as he told that story, what occurred to me was this. There were two paths that were chosen. His biological father chose a path of drugs and self, and it was destructive to him and everyone around him. But he was blessed to be found by a family who chose a different path, and that path is leading in an entirely different direction. Now, that's an extreme story. But what you have to understand is, whatever road you're walking right now, you're the one that chose the path. Don't complain about it, but rather say, I made the decision. Now, where am I and what do I need to do about it? But know this, exactly what was said to Ronnie is true. You can be safe. You can be loved. You can find a family. And it's all through the path you choose with God. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to look at our lives and to make a decision on the road that we're traveling. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, keyword MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.